What in the butt? It is the Film Drunk Fraudcast, live from the fraud quarters. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We have the whole crew with us, of course, starting off with blogger extraordinaire Vince.
That's me.
We have future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan.
What?
And we have no more bearded Brett.
Welcome to the Brodeo Clown.
Yeah. We got a great episode.
Good. Did you get to come up with that yourself?
Uh-huh. He had a hired a couple writers.
Nice one, Bro Montana.
Oh.
Easy. You're going to go to joke jail courtesy of RoboCop.
Uh-oh. Whoa. What is this, some sort of police state, Bro Heimlich Himmler?
Brop it, creep.
No.
Brop it. Is
Brop it.
Mm. Sorry, that was a reach. How many?
Slightly. Just a slight reach. You guys, this week, we have a sponsor for the Fraudcast.
Oh,
yeah. So if you want to support us, and I know you do because you love the way we make gentle love to your ears, go check out adamandeve.com. You know, you could get yourself some DVDs, some toys.
Do they sell fleshlights?
I think they do.
Boom. Get yourself a fleshlight.
You can get 50% off just about any item, and you're going to receive 3 free DVDs. DVDs.
Is there like a Fraudcast promo code?
All you got to do is type in FROT in the promo code.
Nice. I'm sure plenty of people are typing that anyway.
FROT. Yeah, see, that's why they're such a good sponsor, because, you know, when you're listening to this, I know you're buying dildos. So go to it. Listen to us and go fuck yourselves.
Courtesy.
You get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code FROT at adamandeve.com.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
Boom. It is. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, adamandeve.com. Thank you. And go check them out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you guys.
Tonight, we got another very special guest. From the wonderful world of adult entertainment.
It's the land of pornography.
Oh, did you guys see the old ladies watching the Kardashian
sex
tape?
Oh, so good.
I saw the screen cap, but I didn't actually watch it.
The thing that I was, when I saw it, I died, and then I saw you tweet it out, and the quote that you tweeted was also the part that made me laugh the most.
Yeah. It's mostly audio, so I'll play it. You know, it's one of those things where I'm sure it's, like, there's no way this wasn't at least, like, 75% staged, but they're so good, it doesn't even matter.
Still, good execution.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Kim is excellent in bed.
What, you saw a video of
her? Oh, of her sucking a dick. She's holding it like this.
Two hands?
Well, there's a saying, once you go black, you never go back.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You saw it on TV.
No, it's not on TV, it's on the internet.
On the computer? We could see it on the computer?
Yeah.
I want to see this.
That part is the fakest sounding, but I definitely have told my grandpa. My grandpa, every time I go home for Thanksgiving, he's like, now what do you do for a living? And then my favorite time is when he's just like, he's got his hands in his pockets and he's sort of rocking back and forth on his heels. And he's like, so the internet. That's on computers?
Yeah.
There's still definitely a weird, if you're probably over about 70, a weird, like, it doesn't all quite make sense.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely is just a series of tubes, and it doesn't quite make sense. The internet, that's on one of them computers, right?
Yeah, my grandpa's 94, and if he can't fix it with a hammer, he doesn't know what it is.
Computers don't get fixed too well with hammers, turns out.
This I gotta see. Kim Kardashian sex tape with Ray J. Ray J who?
This is real pornography.
There
they go.
He's holding it or she's holding it.
Oh my God! Look at it!
Wait till they show you the profile.
The end is purple.
What's taking him so long? He's so young. That looks like a snake.
two hands.
Two hands with space in the middle.
That was my favorite part.
Now what?
This is real pornography.
Two hands with space in the middle.
What is her problem? She's just laying there. Oh, there he goes. His tongue is as long as his... Oh, she has no hair.
That's the Brazilian.
That's the Brazilian.
Look at his nose is hitting a clitoris.
A rear end?
No, get out of here. Oh my God. She's stupid. Look at that. that hurts.
That's Greek. That's what the Greeks do.
Get out of here.
From the back.
Was I exaggerating, Mary?
Not at all. Oh, see, I can't believe it. We're not supposed to be watching this. Get out of here.
His nose is right in the clitoris.
It gets faker the more I watch it, and it's still funny. I don't care.
Yeah. Even if it's completely fake, they're really funny.
Yeah.
Space in the middle.
I think I'd bang the one on the right, too. She's kind of cute. Not going to lie.
Another internet video. I know, Vince, you saw it. The lady who looked like she could be an extra in Soul Man.
Oh,
Soul Man
God.
2. Soul Woman. Yeah.
The tan. The lady. I saw that on my Facebook feed, like, every three posts. It was like, oh my God, this woman went to jail for tanning her baby or whatever. And I didn't realize she looked legitimately like she was in blackface.
Yeah. Well, that can't just be tan. I mean, that's some sort of extra. She must have thought, hey, the news is here. I'm going to go full Soul Man, Soul Woman on this one.
I mean, isn't that a cry for help at that point?
It's a cry for something. It's not a cry for more tanning.
It's not a cry for sunscreen, I'll tell you that much. Guys, I just want to apologize for Broppit Creep. I just want to apologize for that.
And Brandon usually does not apologize for
No, he usually does the opposite, and he says it about five more times. Well, thanks, Brendan.
Yeah, I want to apologize for Broppit Creep. I want to apologize for that.
What's
the time when I said Broppit Creep?
There's what's RoboCop's other line? RoboCop's other line.
Directive number one, gym. Directive number two, tan. Directive number three, laundry.
I thought it was Dead or Alive. Your
coach. Oh, I don't know. No. Drop or I'll
suck your dick. Yeah.
Drop or I'll suck your dick. Yeah,
that's the one.
There it is. That's what RoboCop.
That's RoboCop, not BroboCop.
Oh, that's true. There's a big difference.
RoboCop don't get down like that, yo.
RoboCop takes people straight to street court.
Give me a pound.
Are you going to throw away that joint or can I finish it?
Fist bump me or you will get iced.
So, Vince, in a little bit, we're going to get on a new producer, director from, well, he's not new to the industry, new to the broadcast. And remind me of his name, please.
Leroy Myers.
Leroy Myers. He's big into the porn parody.
Yeah, I believe he is a multiple AVN winner.
Yeah, he is, actually. I think he won for, I can't remember which one it was, but he's done a lot. Off the top of my head, I remember he did Prawn.
He won
Tron triple. Son.
I thought it was shrimp porn. I got a little. I got my ears perked up.
He's got a PRON.
He's got a. He's got a TLA Raw award for Man versus Pussy.
See, the secret is when you're in the desert.
He's got a 2010 Night Moves award winner for best parody, The Big Bang Theory, a triple X parody. Sex Files won an AVN for that.
There it is. It was the Sex Files. Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot. He also did The Human Sexipede.
There's some really good.
That's a natural.
There's some really good titles in there. And I would say coming up with those is probably a lot more fun than coming up with the titles of the real movie. It's like, let's sex this one up a little bit and see what we can do.
Yeah, you think.
Yeah.
Me and Brett saw The Avengers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Huh, Brett?
We did.
And was that a pretty crowded screening?
Oh, dude. They were literally throwing t-shirts into the audience at the beginning.
I have never seen so many people in so need of t-shirts. It was like terrifying.
You've never seen a lot of people then, because people love free t-shirts.
Fucking love them. Jumping up and down.
And ripping them out of each other's hands.
It's weird.
And I want that free Avengers
t-shirt. These are the professionals or the people that the professionals use to buff.
No, they're not all professionals there.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, fuck. They're professionals in that they probably go to three of these a week.
In between smoking crack and sleeping on the street.
They don't have homes, so they live in the movies.
and it was like the guy was getting the crowd all whipped up, and he'd be like...
Was he dressed as an Iron Man or a Hulk outfit?
No, he was...
Radio station.
Yeah, radio station swag t-shirt.
It was the Nuge. It was the Nuge from Boomer and the Nuge.
Hey, everyone, you ready to see some of that? I can't hear you!
It was that.
And who's your favorite morning show? It's Nutsack and Steve!
Ayo, ayo.
Ooga.
Honka, honka.
Doesn't sound like anyone here wants to see the Avengers.
All right, well, who wants a free t-shirt? Because I got a bunch of them. It'd be better if he did have a t-shirt gun, though. Even if
I know.
Even
I was
in a movie, they were just slamming them into people's chests.
At close range, just tearing faces off.
Just point-blank t-shirt gun.
And he was whipping people up, so he'd be like, who wants to see the Avengers today? I can't hear you. And then it's like, all right, you're getting these people all riled up, and then they're going to have to sit still for 2.5 hours and not talk.
Yeah, but the ones that have a free t-shirt will have a big smile on their face.
Yeah, that's true. I got a t-shirt. There were some excited little overweight kids. It was great.
That got the t-shirts or that were close?
Both. Well, yeah. Like this one kid was just jumping up and down and spazzing out. And I was like, could you just give this little fat fuck a t-shirt already? He's been yelling at you for like 20 minutes straight now. He's patiently sat through 3 rounds of t-shirt throwing.
You've skipped him every time.
Like they'd throw the t-shirts and then everybody would sit down and then the kid would still be jumping up and waving like while the guy was trying
He kindly put down his 4 trays of nachos to stand up and wave.
Yeah. Give him a t-shirt.
Was this a type of screening where there's a huge line out front?
Yeah. Well, we got there early and, I had to swear on a Bible that I did not bring my cell phone.
But you keistered it in your butthole.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
On the way out, the line to get the cell phones was probably double the line to get into the movie.
Well,
I don't know where they picked up all these extra people and then took their cell phones, but it was
I don't know if you played the get your cell phone after the movie game at these screenings.
No, Vince nudged me. Was like, worst. Don't tell them you have a cell phone.
Once you've played it once, you will never play it again.
Never play it again.
It is if the four of us sat around and said, all right, we're going to take items from people, and then we're going to need to give it back an hour later. What is the worst way, the slowest way, to get them their stuff back? And I think they figured it out.
I think I told this on the broadcast, but we went to see one, and I was like number 61. And we're standing there, and the guy's just like, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19. And like, I'm looking, I'm pretty sure that's my phone. I'm like, I have 61. And then he like turns it over. He's like, 61. And like gives me or I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it.
Can I just get my fucking phone? Yeah, they put them all in paper bags and then staple the bags.
Yeah.
And then there was no, like, they didn't put them in a filing system at all.
They just put them on shelves in complete random order.
They stapled your ticket to it. And then you don't have a ticket anymore. I don't know how that works.
No,
I didn't have 2 tickets when I rolled in. I had one yellow ticket.
Do you think anyone's going to watch a movie that was recorded on a phone and, like, be satisfied?
Fuck yeah, dude. It's got mad spoilers.
But here's the thing. What phone exists? Maybe I'm just naive here. What phone exists that you could take 2 hours of video with?
Hey, 20 minutes of Avengers, bro. If I could watch that today, I'll watch it on a crappy butt cam.
I guess.
My favorite are people that watch movies like that truly should be experienced in a movie theater at a minimum on HD. And they're like, dude, that sucked. And they're watching it from just like someone's butthole.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, everybody's the only word I've heard about Mission Impossible is like, oh man, this thing sucks, blah blah blah. And I thought it was pretty good mainly because I saw it in IMAX. But like Brett saw it on a plane. He's like, dude, this movie sucks.
Oh well, that's another one. Plane is basically butt cam.
Yeah, but you can watch movies on a plane and get away with it.
Yeah, if you have like your magnifying monocle and you can see the screen.
I might have my monocle with me. It's a plane.
True.
I'm not going to go out in my peasant clothes.
That's my other favorite one, yeah.
Am I in steerage?
Action movies on planes. It's like, oh yeah, I finally saw whatever.
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes
on a plane.
On a plane.
Hashtag 2004 jokes.
Man, that sucked.
I don't know how you're going to justify watching something shitty bigger making it better.
Makes it a lot better.
No.
Well, if it's Mission Impossible 4 and the only point is that it's got like big scenery and shit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's a great movie.
Yeah.
So were people pretty fired up by what was the reaction?
It was good. I mean, it ends strong for sure. Like a half hour in, I literally nudged Brett and I was like, "Dude, this is so fucking boring right now." And I think he agreed with me.
Yeah, no, it was a long setup and it was jargon filled. It was like people jerking off to their they're like Star Wars encyclopedia, and they're like,
yeah.
Then the Wampas and the fucking the Land Speeders, AT-ATs. it was like a good 45 minutes of them slinging words around that have no meaning.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah.
Hey, you got the ion divider.
If we get the gyroduct in the ion device and reverse the polarity, then the Chitauri will start to terraform, and then everybody will come.
There's that. They bring a character in and they make that sound for 15 minutes.
And then Tony Stark will be like, yeah, they will, princess, and just hip thrust at the camera.
with his sweet beard, pointy beard.
He could have just he could have just shouted Robert Downey Jr. every 5 minutes, and then done like a finger at the camera, and everyone claps. What's up? You remember me from other movies?
You know for sure that Tony Stark could wink at the camera 20 times, and people would laugh every time.
Yeah.
He just did a sly little wink, like, you know, because I might be Iron Man. Wink.
I mean, I'm not. I regularly pick on Whedon, and I think a lot of his references and jokes tend to go on the side of nerd fan service, and I think there was a bunch of that in here, but I think he weighted it towards the other thing. The action scenes were all fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, then the Hulk shows up and wrecks shit, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, all right, cool. You win. All right. You win. This is a good movie.
It's pretty long, too, correct?
Yeah.
It didn't feel that long other than the beginning. It felt like it took forever to take off, and then once it got going, it was...
you were in the air, you were satisfied.
Who played the Hulk? It wasn't Edward Norton, was it?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's delightfully...
Kerfuffalo?
Yeah, he's ruffled up. Disheveled. It's disheveled.
That's good audio, Brendan.
Brendan squinted, lifted
his arm.
That's
the face I make before I go.
He's still doing it.
When I was asked to do Mark Ruffalo. Sorry. Just looking really perplexed, kind of like, both hands in the air, like palms in the air, like facing upward, like. Like he's trying to ask a question, but he can't quite get it out, so he keeps kind of like. Sort of moving his lips like he wants to ask something, but he can't do it.
You got to describe what you're doing. It's just silence.
They know. They'll
get it.
Mind's eye, Brett.
Yeah. Theater of the mind. That's what this is.
So was he ever the Hulk in a movie before?
No, it was Edward Norton.
Have
you seen The Kids Are All Right?
Shut up.
That was worse than Brophy Creep.
Dork.
He was the Hulk in that one.
Shut up.
How would you know? You haven't seen it, have you?
Nor will I.
Yeah, you shouldn't. It's terrible.
It's weird. Yeah, right at the end, they have a total twist, and he's the Hulk.
Sorry, awesome this movie sucks.
Yeah, like that the Robert Pattinson one where they're like, surprise, it's 9/11 the whole time. It'd be funny if like Mark Ruffalo was in a movie. It's like, surprise, he was the Hulk.
The Notebook, the twist ending is he's the Hulk the whole time.
He just punches her.
I waited for you.
Cut to credits.
Well, no, he has to like punch her. He has to punch her in the face.
He just pulls her arms off and kicks her into the moon.
And scene. Nice work, everybody. Can't wait for The Notebook 2. I'd see that.
Yeah.
At least the last scene. Yeah. Like they're on the beach, they're making out. That's the only scene I know that in the movie.
And The Notebook 2, Return of the Notebook. I knew this day would come.
No, wouldn't it be like,
this is a fucking porn.
Move. Maybe that's the one we could suggest.
Yeah.
Notebook 2.
Someone suggested for a porn towel, Cabin in the Woods Where Kids Are Fucking.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right.
Oh,
speak of the devil.
We're getting looped in.
Right on time.
God, I love the new Skype.
He doesn't know he's on. All right. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Am I early?
You're just on time. You're already live. So you know.
Oh wow! Well, then I guess I am on time.
Yeah,
right on time.
I got a couple co-hosts. They'll be interchangeable, so you don't have to pretend to remember them or anything.
Okay.
Right, guys.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, and Vince, just reintroduce him as well, so everyone knows who we're talking to.
Yeah, we got Leroy Myers, director. What's your latest work that? We're talking about
the Godfather. The Godfather XXX parody.
Nice. And has that been released or is that?
No, actually, we're about to shoot it in within a week. We'll be shooting it.
All right. And I looked at your long list of movies. How long is a typical shoot? How long is the Godfather?
Typical shoot, I would say, is 3 days.
All right. And then so from then until it gets released.
If we don't stop him, Ben's just going to keep asking the most boring questions ever.
I'm always curious.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
It takes, it really depends on the studio, but it could be within a month or two that it gets released.
Nice.
Now, I guess the obvious question is when did you get your start and how did you get your start into the world of porn and porn parodies?
I think it was 2008. I was working in TV on the executive side, which I had come from production into that, and I was up in Canada. And part of my job was dealing with adult studios, and they had heard of some of my mainstream work, which is mostly indie TV and indie film. And they asked me if I'd be interested in writing a script for a porn about an office. And that kind of spun into we're going to do a parody of The Office.
The Boffice?
No, The Orifice.
Oh. There was an Orifice, but it wasn't really done like a parody as far as I know. I never saw it. So
I like The Boffice. I think I'd go with The Boffice.
The Boffice is pretty good.
Thank you.
I can't even think of one right now because I think you've said the only two.
That's nicely old-timey, The Boffice.
Yeah.
So when you say the executive side, what does that mean exactly?
I used to work in, without giving away where I worked, I used to work in acquisitions and programming.
Okay. And so now, are you... do you keep your porn work and your regular work, like, do you try to keep those separate still, or are you fairly open about it?
I haven't really taken too much mainstream work since I started doing the adult stuff, cuz I've been fairly busy. I work pretty much every day, so I it's really nonstop. So if I had the time, yes, I probably would, but I don't.
That's interesting that the porn world basically like brought you in as a ringer.
Yeah, but it was, I wasn't the highest man on the totem pole in mainstream. So it was actually, it was exploitive all around. I got to, go into production again, which is, a difficult job for a lot of people. But I went from writing and producing lower budget stuff to directing lower budget stuff. But I got to do a lot more of it, and I had to learn how to write a script in half a day. And it's honestly, it's been a lot of fun. So I've had a good time. If it was exploitative on their side, it was just as exploitative on my side.
Sure. Yeah.
And so once you got into it, was it pretty much, all right, I'm into this. It's going to be the new career path, or was there sort of questioning one way or the other if you're going to try to keep doing both?
Yeah, I wasn't expected to direct it in the beginning. I wasn't expecting to direct it. I still had my executive job, so I wrote it as a hobby. I just like, let's see if I can write again, and I wrote it within, like I said, within a few hours. I wrote it. I love the British Office, and I thought that, porn, I think the point was we were trying to go and try and bring a mainstream sensibility to porn. I think porn and hackiness are pretty synonymous, so I didn't write too many banana peel slipping jokes, and I wrote it, and 6 months later, I actually had a meeting as part of my executive gig, and I was planning on leaving my job anyways, and they said they didn't have anybody to direct it. Would I like to direct it? And I said, okay. So I took it, but I wasn't expecting to do it, to take the job. I took it. I did it. And it became a really big seller, and knock wood, people recognized me as somebody doing something.
No, don't knock wood. That's dangerous in your profession.
That's true. I am a carpenter.
Wait, so the banana peel slipping bit that you said, how funny are you trying to make this? Like, I'm an earnest masturbator, so right. when I de-pants, I'm not looking to laugh. Like, are you going for like a solid punchline, or is it more the fact that it's a recognizable situation and suddenly people are fucking? Is that like the core of the comedy?
No, it's one of those things. It's two different pieces to the puzzle. the dialogue part and the setup and why the sex happens, I have to be as creative as I can be on, you know, on a porn budget, and on porn time, and you know, what the studio wants. And I do my best, you know. I never, even if it turns out bad, it's my fault, you know. But during the sex, I mean, I try and make sure the sex is as sexy as possible. So, you know, I want the lead up. I don't always do comedies, but you know, if the lead up is funny, the sex usually isn't funny. I mean, there may be a novelty sex scene in there, or, you know, depending on the movie. I mean, I did The Simpsons, and they were painted yellow, so I'd say the whole thing was pretty goddamn novelty-like.
Well, nowadays, but it's kind of like, if you make it funny, you get more, you get more publicity, like more mainstream publicity sort of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really, well, over time, because now I'm competing against a lot more parodies. I mean, yeah. When I started doing it, there were only, you know, when it started, like, one guy had done, brought back parodies, because before that they were just doing Gonzo movies with a parody name, like, you know, Bareback Mountain and things like that. And then they started doing the shows, and then my job was, hey, let's try and make it actually look like the shows and try and make it feel like the shows, but still something, you know, there, no matter what I do, they're always going to be a little off and a little surreal. I mean,
yeah,
you know, porn actors aren't the same as the actors in the shows.
I think
I didn't know that.
I think the one of the first times I saw one of your parody trailers, I was like, I think I posted it, and I was like, the jokes in this are better than like one of those Seltzer Friedberg movies, you know, like the parody movies. I was like, porn is now doing better parody than Hollywood parody is doing right now.
This 2.5 women trailer is even funnier than 2.5 men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, basically. I would be willing to bet you did
I bet 2.5 men would be funnier than 2.5 men.
You did a Big Bang Theory parody, and I would be willing to bet that that's funnier than Big Bang Theory. Because
is that mainly because Big Bang Theory is fucking terrible?
The bar is low, to be fair.
I was just gonna say I could probably just film my feet dancing around, and it would be funnier than the Big Bang Theory,
which I would also jerk off to.
Well, you know, some people like my feet, but I don't know. It's one of those things. It's just everybody's different. Everybody does their thing. I think there's, you know, a market for some that don't look like it, that look like 90s porn, you know, and really don't get that it's funny. You know, I make stuff that, if, you know, before I was in porn, when, you know, YouTube was really just starting to do what it does and memes and things were getting out there, you know, I would watch things from the 90s, you know, and I'd look at them and I'd be drunk and laugh. So I make stuff for people to, you know, that think, you know, it's weird or funny. I get it. I get the joke, because I would have thought it was funny or weird.
To get drunk and laugh at, basically, yeah.
What do you think about, like, doing a subgenre of, like, 90s porn, and, like, there's even, like, little effects where it's, like, when you first put in the VHS and it's kind of grainy, you know? Like, you could do a whole kind of subgenre of that, like nostalgia porn.
I did. I've done two things. One is I did a remake of a classic porn film called Sex World that is amazing. If you haven't seen it, VCX puts it out, and it's the future from it's the low budget future from 1997. It's supposed to be a play on Westworld and Future World, but it's not really. But it is the future, and they still have afros, and it's everything's white, so it's the future.
Right.
And so, like, I had some fun with that, and I had I did the Lebowski porn, and in it we did log jamming, which
nice. Yeah, nice.
We had a lot of fun doing. I mean, Lebowski is one of my favorite movies, and
what did you call the Lebowski porn?
It doesn't get very creative anymore, so it was. I think it was Big Lebowski, a Triple X parody.
Yeah, I was going to be my next question, because you've got you've got some titles where it's like a, it, you know, it is a parody title, like Man versus Pussy, I see on there, which is funny to
right.
me. And, you know.
The human sex-a-pede.
Human sex-pede, sex thighs, and videotape.
Right. I mean, those were things, when I shot for like New Sensations in the beginning, which is what I shot most of my stuff for, right, you know, they're the studio I went with in the beginning. You know, everybody was doing the same thing, which was let our lawyers name the name these. You know,
is it's that, the first time is that an issue?
Trying to do a parody. So,
sorry to cut you off. Was that an issue when choosing? Are there certain titles you can't use?
Yeah. I mean, there are certain titles that I think they're afraid for every title, and then it turned into oh, well, I guess it's. We should name it so people recognize the parody we're doing.
Do you have like a bunch of lawyers in a back room who are just like, after 4 fucking years of law school, there's fucking...
and I got to make sure...
I have my wife who sits there and goes, oh, you fucking idiot. I can't believe you would use that name. No, I really, it's you know, if I want to keep my home, I try and keep it as safe as possible. But, you know... At the same time, you know, I'm doing true parodies. I know there's some people that just toss the name on and try and do fan fiction and that's it. I mean, I like to think of all my stuff as a true parody. I make fun of the time that the things were made in. I make fun of the show while paying homage to it. And, you know, like I have fun with it, but it's, you know, I don't take it as seriously as I probably could have. Not necessarily should have, because I think my style comes out of just having fun with it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, do you have any going working in porn? I would assume is a lot different in terms of dealing with talent. I mean, do you have any any talent horror stories? Just as far as people showing up late, or just you know, just general weirdness that goes along with adult films. please tell us.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's horror stories. No, I mean, whatever job you work on, there's generally horror stories, except mine sometimes involves anal leakage. So
don't generalize.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a horror. I mean, really, you know, it depends on the performers and it depends on anything else. I mean, some people are great. Some need to be babysat. And you know, there's nothing that, like, I mean, there are people, who have just sat there, kicked off at the world the moment they get there, not realizing they're getting paid to have sex and, just storming around yelling and screaming. You know, I, you put up with it to a point and then you throw people off set. I mean, it's part of, you know, I've been fortunate enough that studios have worked with me, have given me freedom to throw people off set if they're terrible people.
What was the last thing that you had? Who was the last person you had to throw off of a set and why?
Oh, I'm not going to say who it is, but I'll tell you.
You don't have to name names.
No, I can't name names.
No, you don't have to name names.
Oh, okay, sorry. You cut out there and I thought you were... McCarthy for a second, but
name <it's>, them.
Yeah, it's there was somebody who I had they stormed off a set and I had already booked them for their next gig, actually their next two gigs, and I didn't cancel them, which was probably my mistake, but the next couple gigs came out and I was doing the Tron parody.
Tron.
And it was Prawn.
Nice.
We called it. And
brilliant.
Sam Hain, you know. So I got a call probably 10 p.m. the night before the shoot, which means we were getting the set at 8 a.m. the next day. And she started screaming at me about the male talent I chose, how she's not going to have sex with him. He's not good. And then she started complaining about how we're not painting up her vagina, which is not something I would really...
You're not painting it up?
Yeah, we're not putting paint
on it. Okay, okay. She didn't want paint on it.
The funny part is, like, first of all, I wasn't planning on painting her vagina. Second, when she mentioned it,
maybe.
But her argument was her doctor said she shouldn't do it, which means she had to approach her doctor probably not just once, several times about vagina paint.
Yeah.
And that alone was enough for me to just kind of say, you know, what is it you're calling me about? And she started yelling and screaming at me, and I kept calm, and I said, well, then don't bother showing up tomorrow or next week.
At which point she
backed down and said, oh, well, you know, like, we could discuss this. And after 45 minutes of being screamed at, I just
imagine her with a spray can full of Krylon All Weather Primer, just fucking with the Rust-Oleum.
She was like spraying her vagina with paint, going, oh, then going to the doctor. Oh, doctor, it burns. You know, it really burns. My herpes don't react well to it.
you're back, but we are putting so much paint on your vagina.
No, I won't hire her for anything. I just, you know, I'm at a point where I'd rather have fun and do my job than be a babysitter. And most of the people in porn are pretty good and pretty easy to deal with and pretty fun to have on set because they realize they could be working at a desk or at a McDonald's or somewhere else.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess that some of the actresses might have some daddy issues.
You know, they do call me daddy when I walk in, and I've never met them before. So I'm assuming yes.
Sounds about right.
Do you work with like the type of in the adult industry? Is it you know, certain actors, actresses sort of are the big star draws? Are you working with that type of talent, or does that not really matter in a lot of the movies?
I think it matters to the studio, and it matters to certain stores and certain, I mean, there's an old school mentality around that I think, you know, has gone, okay, well, we've had our star system ever since Jenna Jameson blew up. It was, you know, let's hire these girls, and they sold the movies. But I think now, when there's probably more people pirating them than buying them, you know, it's people who are pirating them that are complaining. So I say, you know, you're getting it for free. There is a good choice out there. It's not necessarily the thing that needs to be exploited to sell it. In a parody, I think the parody name sells it. Like if somebody goes, oh, this is fucked up, I'm going to buy this, or, oh, this is funny, I'm going to buy it, or, oh, my wife really loves this show, she'd love to see everybody naked on it.
Yeah.
And I think, that's the exploitive part. But I think after that, there's certain people that still draw and people in and draw fans in. So if I can use them, if they fit the roles and can do what I need them to do, yeah, definitely.
So you're married. I mean, is your porn life? I mean, is that just a job, or how separate do you keep things?
I do and I don't. I mean, you know, I don't go to porn parties. I don't, I enjoy being at home. I enjoy watching a movie or watching TV or, you know, going to a show. But, you know, I work 24/7 in my mind. So, I'm constantly writing stuff or figuring out what's next or being on set. I mean, I work kind of crazy hours. So, yeah, it's hard to keep it separate at that point. But, you know, I do my best. I don't it's –
You're not like banging the actresses?
Okay. Sorry?
I see, you're not like banging the actresses?
No.
How sort of authentic do you try to keep the parodies to the real – movie or TV show? Do you try to get people that look like them, or is that not really important to the people that are watching?
it depends on the type of parody I'm doing. So for The Godfather, for instance, you know, I think
that
there's
is not Marlon Brando's penis.
Yeah, actually, that's a non-sex role, just so you know.
Okay.
But it's one of those movies that's so iconic. You need Brando, a Brando impression. Does it have to look like him? I don't think exactly. I think you have to do it more like a sketch comedy thing when you're setting it up. And I am doing more of a slapstick version of it that's going to look like it, but it's going to you know, be funny and you know, really, like, for instance, the Don is the Dong, and it's nice. Michael Corleone. So, you know, I'm having fun with it. I don't think it has to be exact, but when I do, you know, when I do Family Guy or when I had to do Seinfeld or Lebowski, you know, those were ones where I felt I needed lookalikes.
And you do go as far as to have, like, the Seinfeld bass music and stuff like that?
As close as I can get without getting sued, yes.
Sure, yeah.
There's some pretty good composers willing to work on a porn budget, and there's some pretty good music libraries that are okay with porn paying their price to get access to it. So, yeah, it really depends. But, yeah, absolutely. If I can get music that sounds like it, I will. If I can't, I try and, you know, make it as good as I can so people accept that, that, you know, the Godfather doesn't sound exactly like it. But, I mean, if it's something like that where the soundtrack is just so freaking important to it, yeah, I go out of my way to make sure the music matches.
Yeah. All right, so I've got some user-submitted suggestions.
Users?
For
is this Prawn?
Oh, sorry. Some reader suggested, listener suggested. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, possible avenues for porn parodies. I'm going to read you a few. You know, maybe you could just give us like a rating. Rate them on
if they get paid or not. Yeah.
Yeah, viability.
Virility.
Yeah, viability / virility from, like, you know, 1 to 10 or so.
Okay.
So we've got the curious case of Benjamin's Butthole.
Good title, movie that you know is just that in between. It's not old enough and it's not new enough.
Also, no one wants to watch an old man have sex with a tiny baby.
Yeah,
I was just about to say that. I would say there's people that do, but I don't want them watching my movies.
What if it was a giant baby?
did it have pubic hair? Yeah.
Oh. You can just give us a number.
Out of what?
You can just rate it on 1 to 10.
I'd give it a 4.
Okay, all right. Grinding Nemo.
You know, I'm all for people playing fish. Okay. I would give that I'd give that an 8.
Be okay. Like the Lion King play.
Yeah, I think it's weird enough that I could do some funny things with it, and people would watch it, whether it's for the oh gross aspect, or,
true,
or what have you.
So what's your rating on that one?
8.
8. Okay, sorry.
8. Yeah.
All right. Humpin' Jack's Gash.
I think if you're going to do, I'm assuming the song or the Whoopi Goldberg movie.
The Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, definitely.
There's something really, 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 really unsexy about Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh. So, not to mention humping Jack's Gash. So would it be like a transsexual?
No, her name could be Jackie.
Well, have a good market, but yeah. I would say doing one of Burglar might be a better
okay, so what's your rating on that one?
What did I say, 2 or 3?
Okay.
All right. The Cabin in the Woods Where Teenagers Are Fucking.
So The Cabin in the Woods. Yeah, I would say that. Wouldn't that be Cabin Fever?
Ooh, fair.
Yeah, I think
we're gonna have to call that one Stabbing Fever.
There you go. I think Cabin in the Woods is pretty new and it's got a cult audience, so and I liked it, so I'd say a 7.
You could also do an Asian version that was like Stabbing Yellow Fever.
Wow. Now we're way.
All right.
We're
yeah, good, I guess.
Okay.
Way off the reservation.
I'm
now.
Just. We're just spitballing here.
Oh, okay.
This one, I'd be surprised.
Right into the butt.
I'd be surprised if this one hasn't been done already. But the squirt locker.
I haven't heard that it has been done. Once again, squirting movies, I think you got a good audience for it. Getting that whole Middle Eastern set might be a little too expensive
fair,
for a
squirt
movie.
Okay.
See, Vince, he's
so
thinking
I'm going to say five.
He's thinking about all the angles that you aren't
you know,
thinking
you're not
about.
Supposed to think about logistics when you're first brainstorming, but
oh.
I realize, I know that's the director's job and all. But.
We should say we're squirtballing.
Yeah.
We're just squirtballing yeah. here.
All right, the hunger gaze.
I would say just squirt balling. I would say that's probably an 8 or a 9.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, that's good. Ooh. All right. This one's an old one, and it's I'm just gonna. All right. Cum flew over the hooker's breast.
Title alone, I'd give that a 9 or a 10.
Boom!
Right?
Oh. I think we have a winner. Cum flew over the hooker's breast.
I think I'm going to have to go to the second tier suggestions now. Goohand Luke?
Yeah, there's something about a movie of all guys that probably is not my forte. So if you just did it and it was just the car wash scene, and then I'd say... a 10. If not, I'd say a 2.
Okay. Well, what if you change the guys to girls and then
Ooh.
She's got to try and eat 50 Ooh. Eggs?
15 eggs? Well, if she has to eat 50 eggs, I'm going to give it a 2 for sure.
Vince, you're out of the writer's room.
All right. This is not my idea.
You're
I'm just
out of the writer's
I am
room.
Just the conduit. Okay. Oh, all right. Oh, John Cream Pies at the end?
I don't know what that is. What is
that reference to?
That one's about John Dies at the End. That's
is that
new.
A movie?
It's new, yeah. It's an indie way.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2. You got your cult audience, but very small cult audience. And anything with a guy's name, cream pieing, just doesn't appeal to the straight audience usually.
You had mentioned that there's other movies you need to, like there's other parodies. You know, it's a bigger industry of the adult industry now. Do you have to look and see what else is out there? Do you know if other ones are coming up that, you know, say there's a new movie came out, you want to parody it. Do you care or does it matter if someone else is releasing it?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, you know, you want to know what's going out there and if it's going to screw your sales over if somebody's releasing something first.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Everything's a double entendre.
Yeah, it's great. Do you have porn parody rivals? Or is there like studios that you are regularly coming up against? Again, entendre.
Yeah,
coming up against.
No, I mean, almost everybody has done porn parodies now at this point. When I first started, there were very few people. I was probably the third one in. Doing it again as far as directors go, and you know I just did it differently, so I don't really look at it as like rivals, because I you know when it's my movie, yeah, but when I'm shooting for a studio, I you know they're the ones that really have to worry about it, so I leave that in their hands and I do the best job I can. So you know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to know who else is out there and who's doing what and who is shooting things right now. But, you know, I don't really worry about it, so I wouldn't say rivals.
Do you, on the flip side, do you have people that are doing a similar thing that you'll run into at conventions or whatever and be like, hey, I fucking love your work. I really laughed or came at it. You know, I mean, is there other people at the same level as you that you recognize? By.
I don't really watch porn and cum anymore, so that's out. But
me either.
But yeah, no, there's people that I really respect and like and get to work with. Sam Hain, who did the Sex Files 1 and 2. He did the Star Trek Next Generation 1. I worked with him on a couple things. He's great. That guy is amazing. You know. just off the top of my head, I mean, Graham Travis, David Lord, you know, these are guys doing things that are different and interesting. And, you know, they don't do what I do, though. You know, they've got their own styles and, you know, they actually try, which isn't something that was done in porn before, I don't think. At least as a porn fan before it.
It's revolutionary.
The talent's always been trying.
Yeah, trying was highly underrated before. So it's nice to see people try and see what they're capable of, and there's some good people out there.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories was about the director of some porn was watching it on a monitor, and he kept seeing these weird things in the shot, and he's like, what is that flaking going on? And because, you know, it was like just a close up shot, and he looked up, and the male lead was supposedly eating a sandwich while he's banging this chick, and he's like,
I'm gonna guess that's a myth because most directors in porn don't use monitors.
Ah, fair. when you do sets, like, you know, I've known a few smaller time directors where they were having to like rent out an office building on a Sunday, and like they're literally taking like porn people and just, you know, banging in an office space on a Sunday that no one knew about.
God's day?
Yeah, right. Do you have you guys own studios, or what are your what kind of locations do you have? What is your location scouting, and do you have to worry about whether the person renting it out is going to care whether you shoot porn there?
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's really difficult to say. It's all based on budget. The bigger the budget, the more I'm ready to work in a studio because they'll build for me exactly what I need. Otherwise, I'm doing my own set deck or whatever I have, I've got to bring. I go through location companies, and they have adults okay locations. Huh. So, you know, that's really, for the most part, I have that. And then I have a couple studios that build for me, once again, depending on budget and depending on what I need built, because they all have fortes and they all have fuck-ups. So
what's a big budget for a porn shoot these days?
These days, I'd say, it changes every month, but I would say the last big budget movie I worked on in porn was about $200,000.
Oh, wow.
I've done big budget porn for $80,000, for $100,000. I would say now, as people are watching porn for free more and more, a bigger budget is probably $50,000.
What was the heyday of bigger budget porn?
Well, I mean, you know, the heyday was probably the 80s.
Yeah.
Right. Probably 70s, 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Before
video.
Okay.
With video came, you know, we can do things a lot cheaper. And once again, they were doing things in one day, but they were able to stretch a dollar. So even if they weren't throwing giant budgets out, you felt like in that one day they actually gave a shit, and, you know, they were using film cameras and mags and had full crews. I would say a few years ago, probably between 10 and 5 years ago, people were back to really throwing money out there.
Yeah.
On movies, you know, and through the 90s, certain companies did, but it was only certain companies and certain people that did. So it
seems like up until recently, people didn't realize that you could lose money on porn.
I think there was a time even up until 5 years ago where you really couldn't lose money on porn.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm always curious, where do you see, you know, cause you're clearly in the business of making the, you know, legit full porn movies. You know, now are you selling a lot of DVDs only? Do you have an online presence? I mean, where is the money coming back from? And are you trying to get more into like putting free clips on the sites where people are watching it for free?
No, I mean, I haven't gotten into that yet. I do. I'm working on a website right now where we give things away in parodies, you know, among other things, lots of free clips, but I'm doing specific parodies for it to bring people in and watch them, and they'll get them for free. But, I mean, right now I don't – like I shoot some stuff for myself. I make a profit on it still. Is it what it was? I think I missed the time where it was easy to make money in porn. So I had to work as soon as I got in there. But, you know, I get paid by studios mostly. So my job is to figure out, you know, what I think is going to do well.
Right.
And I think I have a decent grasp of it. And, you know, I choose what I mean, me, maybe I'm more of a Barnum and Bailey type director, producer, you know.
Spectacle.
I go for the weird factor.
Yeah. So.
But are they still shipping and selling a lot of actual DVDs, or is it more streaming stuff online?
It, you know, it depends on the movie. I think DVDs are still bread and butter for most people, which I know may sound surprising, but, you know, it's just there was so much invested in DVDs, and there's still a huge market that doesn't, you know, I think the people that don't know it's free online are older, and they probably just got into DVDs a little while ago.
So we could fucking blow their mind if we showed them some of these newfangled internets with computers?
Don't do that!
Yeah, I think their Commodore 64s haven't been turned on in a while. Not- and the fact that they probably don't even have, you know, any internet capacity, any modem around. I think there's a big market that still doesn't. Older people, but I think, you know, as we see, you know, time moving on, every day there's a new older member of an older audience that's picking it up, that's going to a tube site.
Yeah,
don't worry, I won't go evangelize the South with letting them know about all the free porn. Yeah.
I think it's a good thing, actually. I know that sounds fucked up, but I think. Well, not a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, as you know from your stuff, I mean, I think advertising is, you know, probably a better moneymaker than, you know, selling a DVD now. And I think it's just different. It's delivery is different. I think, you know, when Lars came out from Metallica, started screaming at everybody and, and you know, he didn't get, you know, and he did that in the early days. I think now the people that do that, they don't get that there's an entire generation that's growing every day that doesn't know it's wrong. You know, they don't know. No government's told them that it's wrong. Nobody's really said it's wrong. It's there. It's free. Like, you know, if I was younger, I wouldn't know either. So.
But they got to – I mean, it's one of those things where you got to figure out how to make money off of it before – like music really didn't figure out how to make money off it before it fucking died. And like music, I mean, music pretty much has been dead like the last, you know, 4 or 5, like it, I mean, it really did kill like almost the entire music industry. And I wouldn't necessarily blame that on the people downloading. It's kind of both. It's both goes both ways. I don't think they figured it out fast enough to
well,
try
it
and
just
change.
Changes the industry. And same with porn. At some point, no one's going to buy any DVDs, porn or not. I mean, that's just the future of, you know.
We have a good story about Lars, actually, because we live up here in the Bay where Metallica is from. And my co-host, Brendan, was it you who threw the California rule?
It was my friend, Brendan.
Well, one of our friends saw a Lars at a sushi restaurant and threw a California roll at him and shouted, "Napster rules." So that was our.
How long ago was this?
This is like at the time. This is like 2000.
So it was while Napster actually ruled.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I bet he was fast swatting it away, though.
Yeah.
He got like 3 snare hits in on that California roll.
He hit it with his hand, then he kicked it twice.
Yeah.
Double bass. Yeah.
I mean, right now, though, it's actually, it was a huge drop. It's kind of, it's I think we're meant where it's holding off as far as bottoming out DVD sales. Mm-hmm. If you do the right movie, it'll still sell.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Godfather we're working on. I have a lot of faith that there'll be enough people that really, you know, think it's weird or good or whatever they think. You know, I have a feeling they'll buy it, you know?
Right.
You know, all I can do is my best work and add vaginas and hope that people watch it.
Well, let's go out on that because I think that's a pretty good quote to go out
on. Yeah, and so where could – do you have your own – you said you're working on your site. I mean, where can people find you? Is it just based on your various movies? I know you said you work with different studios, but is there a somewhere you want people to find you, whether it's Twitter or somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, Facebook under Leroy Myers, LeeRoyMyers. Twitter, I'm on pretty much constantly. Yeah, I think Twitter under Leroy Myers also. They can reach me there.
All right. We'll link you up. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Right on.
That was fun. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Good job, Brendan.
How'd you get the last word?
I never get old to it never gets old to me talking to the porn industry people.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a like a ringer, you know.
Yeah.
It's different than when you're like a lifer than when you're a ringer.
But how does that doesn't everyone start that way? That's the only way.
What?
No.
No, you got to go gay first.
The difference between like being a TV guy who like started directing porn and being like a porn actor who like transition into directing.
Oh, that's the
like,
other that's career kind path. Of, is, yeah. is the actor come up?
And, yeah,
gotcha. I didn't think about that. I figured everyone
pretty
came
big
from,
difference
like, doing commercials and.
So a couple years ago, I was getting railed in my butt, and I thought, you know what? I should be a producer.
That's funny. You'd think there'd be more people who came from like directing commercials. And
I just
but, like,
I figured like
not.
This isn't that far from a low budget local commercial. Like you're just, you're like, oh shit, the pay's probably slightly better than you know. There's got to be hundreds,
you'd think.
Of thousands of low budget. Local commercial producers.
Yeah. But
and he sounds like he came from like a reputable studio,
yeah.
Which probably is more rare, but
yeah.
They brought him go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna change subjects, so if you want to
change.
Oh. I was gonna say, you know what bears mentioning. I think it was probably I'd say roughly 50 Frotcasts ago. We were joking about Guy Fieri's Lamborghini being stolen.
Oh yeah.
That is
a great story.
Yeah. So like they like rappelled down. It's actually like two blocks away from my apartment. It's like a Bentley and Lamborghini dealership.
Every fancy car.
Yeah, like every fancy car.
I'll take seven.
Yeah. So the thief, you know, broke into the skylight.
It was a team.
Rappelled down. Yeah, a team.
Oh, well, they cut the glass in the circle, didn't they?
Yeah, totally. You know, the suction cup. And so we're joking that it's like this team. They're probably like good looking, like European. You know,
straight
guys with like long
it was probably
hair.
Gabor
yeah.
Sidibe was like with a Jamaican accent, was standing guard,
right.
Looking out.
Boom!
Yeah. Hey,
boom.
Man,
you got one. Watch out for the cops. And then like yeah,
let
but then
me
we were,
finish me donut.
Yeah, we were picturing like guys with hair and blonde ponytails, like so, Mr. Fieri, you know, like that kind of thing.
We are taking your car.
Well, they caught that kid. The kid. So yes, it's a kid. It's a 17-year-old kid.
From,
who stole
from
it.
Your high school.
From my high school.
They caught him because he was shooting up a car.
Yeah, then he shot up a car in the next town over.
Driving Guy Fieri's.
But he wasn't trying to steal Guy Fieri's car. He kept in a storage locker over in Point Richmond, and he would just take it out and drive it around for a while. But I see the headline, and I'm like, I totally remember Guy Fieri's Lamborghini got stolen. Yes, kid apprehended. Click the article. It's like my buddy from high school is defending him. Like, yeah. And there's a big picture of him.
Don't tell him that. We might be able to get some insider information on the case. And then,
oh yeah.
Do you think Guy Fieri is going to have to show up to the trial to identify the car?
No, he doesn't even care, bro.
Dude, my hair's so fucking.
He's too busy filming Triple D.
I like to think that they just bump Smash Mouth as his walk-up song when he takes a stand.
I mean, he basically is Smash Mouth.
In the shape of an L on her forehead. Shing!
He is Smash Mouth.
All of the members, he's consumed them, and then it's like the wristbands from. It's like Voltron for Smash Mouth. It's like, I am the wristbands, I'm the earplugs.
He's like a human slap bracelet.
I was picturing more he just opens his mouth and Smash Mouth music comes out. It's kind of
like wasps.
Yeah,
like wasps.
Yeah, it's like that episode of The Love Boat when Isaac swallows the radio.
No, but he's, yeah, and so that kid that got caught, I guess He was riding a black motorcycle and like tried to shoot some dude and some girl. Supposedly they think he like had a crush on this girl and had a beef with this dude and like tried to kill him and rode away on a motorcycle.
Yeah, the way to get the girl is just kill the boyfriend.
Yeah.
That works every time.
I mean,
I got a sick car in storage, bitch.
I don't think, you know, a murder is great and I don't think I would advocate attempted murder, especially over a girl. But the fact that the dude stole a Lamborghini and was just keeping it in a storage locker and taking it out on runs and like driving around on a black motorcycle and like rappelling, like that dude is like the male Lisbeth Salander and is probably like the most badass dude ever.
I know.
I mean, this guy has got to get laid a lot after this.
Or he's just a sociopath.
Well, probably both.
Hey,
sociopaths can be badass.
Sociopaths get laid
more than anyone on the planet. Well, you know why doesn't he give a fuck? It's because I can't imagine you as a person.
I love you.
Yeah, the other answer is I love you? Yeah. Question mark.
You want to fuck again?
That's incredibly appealing to a 17-year-old girl.
It's true.
Every time I see Guy Fieri, I just want to reach into the TV and strangle him. Or the internet, my computer.
For some reason, he doesn't bug me as much as he bugs everybody else.
Really?
Because he seems
pretty buggy.
He's like a caricature of himself. I feel like he almost has to get it at that point.
No, he's not a caricature. He is a clown makeup clown of himself. That makes it worse.
Do you think when he's like spiking his hair in the mirror, he's crying and his clown makeup's
he'll have to reapply.
When he's bleaching his tips.
Yeah.
What if Guy Fieri was a juggalo?
He kind of is.
Like
he's not that far away.
Chance.
I think there's got to be a lot of fan crossover there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he loves onion rings. I love onion rings. I'm a sweet ass dude, my ninja.
The Venn diagram of juggalos and Guy Fieri fans is like the crossover.
Yeah, the
significant
crossover.
Overlap.
It just says onion rings in the middle.
Or significant
face overlap.
Face paint. Yeah, that's
it's
all
almost
you
a
need.
Complete. Like it's just the two circles are completely.
It's two tubes of white and one tube of black.
The two circles are almost just perfectly on top of each other.
In the middle is space cakes.
Yo, Big Mama, get out. Be safe.
Between him and Paula Deen, holy shit, have you read any of the Paula Deen lawsuit stuff?
Yes.
Wait, so she's getting sued?
Yeah, by someone who works at her restaurant and basically
claims... She gave him secondhand diabetes.
That's the newest epidemic.
Yeah. She's gifted
it's
her.
Type 2. It's type 2. Oh, I got it from being around you. I'm so fat.
Apparently she's
secondhand?
Like...
railing butter.
Apparently, according to the lawsuit, she's like horribly racist and...
unsurprising.
And against
she's like, can't we have the N-words run around with bow ties like in the Sammy Davis Jr. days?
Yeah, unsurprising.
While she's eating fried butter sandwiches?
Yeah. Yeah, and
those are the
it was the same
that.
The same thing with Guy Fieri. Like he had someone that he used to work with claim that he got mad that they didn't tell him that one of the restaurant owners was a gay.
Well,
tell me beforehand that someone's
he seems
a gay.
Like an Orange County racist rather than a Southern classic racist.
I don't know.
Where you know where he's like, yeah, you know, the problem is not enough dirt bikes. Too many black folk.
I don't know. I guess I just see him as a lovable idiot.
No.
What is your problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't find him that hateable.
Yeah. I think we might have to have some sort of intervention on you to...
Granted, I don't watch his show enough for it to annoy me.
I have never watched his show.
Like, the man versus food guy annoys me way more, I have to admit.
Really?
The man versus food guy is a fucking disgusting slug person, and I hate him.
Wow. I mean, I'm not going to say I like him.
Yeah, no.
But he is way...
He's like a human Jabba the Hutt, and he's just like fucking drooling on the camera. I hate that guy.
Wait, tell us how you really feel.
Over Guy... Wow, what is... You have weird
I don't know. I just hate the food as a like gluttonous sport. It fucking just disgusts me. It's the worst.
And you love cooking shows, so
I do. But when you're like when it's just
that's not a cooking show. That's an eating show.
Yeah, it's true. That's the difference. That's the main difference.
Very important distinction.
Yes,
we are not fucking around because that is very different.
And
Frank
I feel like every
yes.
fucking show of Man versus Food is him eating something that's really hot, and then it's like 5 minutes of footage of that fat, gross, disgusting man's just sweating and like just looking into the camera like disgusted because he ate something too hot, and he's got that like clammy fucking Lego skin where he's just like, oh, this is so hot. And he has to practice in the mirror different ways to communicate that something's really hot, even though he does that every fucking show. That's all he does.
How often do you watch this? Why are you doing this to yourself?
I'm sorry. Because I watch a lot of Food Network and Travel Channel.
You don't have to.
Sometimes it's just
on.
You're not
being forced.
It's on between the shows that I like sometimes, you know?
He's narrowed his Comcast down to MMA channels and food channels, and that's it. And he just cycles between the two.
So the thing about Vince is he can't sleep without the TV on. And so when I lived with him, it would be nothing but like Food Network straight into Scientology and then a little bit of infomercial.
Scientology?
Yeah, they play those commercials late at night, so you know. Mm. Dianetics. You don't know that because you're fucking asleep. But that's what goes on when you sleep.
It's true. Did I even have a TV in my room then?
Yeah, you did. And it was loud. Because we had a comfortable bathroom separation of space, and I could still hear all your fucking commercials.
Oh, man. God, we were so young then. Remember youth?
Guys, we used to be young, and it was so cool.
We used to be so cool.
Remember when we didn't get hungover?
Oh, God. I threw up in my braces. Last week. Because we smoked cigarettes with that Charlie guy.
Oh, my God. I was so fucking hungover.
I smoked like 100 menthols.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I'm never drinking again.
I think I hugged him.
That guy was cool.
Okay. He was cool.
So for everyone listening, we went and we watched MMA at a karaoke bar, and there was this big fat guy named Charlie. He was really funny, and he reminded us of Polly, so we just sort of...
Yeah, we drank a bunch of pitchers with him.
And he kept making us smoke cigarettes and drink more beer with him.
Yeah, I don't think he made us.
He smoked menthols.
Yeah, but we had a bunch of menthols.
A carton of menthols later.
It was bad.
I was hungover for 2 days.
It was bad. I threw up in my Invisalign.
Was it all minty puke?
No, it was not. It was black. I threw up black.
That's
my girlfriend's like, why'd you throw up in the trash can? It's like, because I was shitting at the same time. It was also black.
Man, I don't get that hungover. Jesus.
This was in the night. This was before I woke up. Man. Yeah, I thought I was good. I got out of the taxi. I hugged Charlie, and then I stumbled home. And about halfway on my trip home, like, things have gone south here. What has gone on the last 5 minutes?
Your body starts to realize you're not in party mode anymore. Yeah. And it starts slowly shutting down. It's like, all right, I don't need to be pumped, filled with every drug, you know, alcohol and caffeine and nicotine or whatever else. It's like, it's time to shut down. Pooping, vomiting, that's high on the list.
The other option was puke on my balls, and I'm not about puking on my balls.
No. I'm about other people puking on my balls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But not for over $50. I like to keep it cheap.
All right, so these guys don't like this topic, but I thought with the Avengers coming out, we could talk about our favorite superhero movies.
Superhero or comic book?
You have to do comic book. Superhero's too narrow.
Well, whatever. It's sort of the same thing.
Okay, let's say comic book. When I think of it, I think superhero, but maybe. And all right, so my top two. I'm gonna say that Spider-Man 2 is my favorite, followed by the Dark Knight.
Spider-Man movies suck.
Spider-Man 2 was awesome.
It was fun, but not good.
It was awesome.
It was Raimi-esque.
Dude, I love...
Chainsaw scene.
You don't like Raimi?
No, I like Raimi. I'm just not saying he makes amazing movies.
I like Dr. Octopus a lot, just saying.
Yeah, that was good.
And then somewhere in the 3, 4, 5 range are the X-Men 1 and 2 and, you know, Avengers somewhere around there.
First class was
pretty good too. Yeah.
The coin through the head thing was pretty intense. Yeah. Or the knife then at the beginning where it's like, oh, what's up? I'm Michael Fassbender. I threw a knife, then I took the knife back. Now it's in your hand.
Yeah, I think I liked
it. Also, huge dick.
I think I liked First Class better than Avengers. They're close.
No. Avengers was better than First Class.
Meh.
First Class was cute.
I call it a wash. Anyway.
What, me?
Go for it. I don't know. Who did somebody jump in?
All right. Dark Knight. Iron Man, X-Men 2, Road to Perdition.
That counts.
It's a graphic novel.
Yeah, it's a fucking graphic novel.
Dude, we can't include all graphic novels. That's like a million movies.
But Brett, that's all he reads these days. Give him a break.
No, they all turned into shit movies, though.
Yeah, that was a good one. You didn't like Road to Perdition?
No, I did. I just didn't think that was that would count as
What? What? Gangsters can't be panels in pictures?
That's why I said superhero, see? But
yeah,
whatever.
See? You're
whatever.
A fucking you're a 20s racist.
Yeah. I don't like those black people on my land, see? Meh.
I thought were we going to do best and worst?
Wow. Sure. Oh, worst? Let me see.
Daredevil is the worst.
Daredevil's pretty bad. The Fantastic, both Fantastic Fours are amazingly terrible.
Daredevil was really
Daredevil's
bad.
Really bad. I agree
that
with
that.
That
is just a bit giant steaming turd of a movie.
I had to, so I was watching.
I never saw Ghost Rider, though.
I saw parts of it, but see, that at least had the
Nick
silly,
Cage.
Yeah, that has the silly Nick Cage. Is so silly and ridiculous.
I watched Fantastic Four number one while putting on my tie before a wedding and had to like stop. I was late and had to stop ironing my shirt so I could turn it off. It was
I think
bad.
Fantastic Four is like Stephanie Meyer's where like you could turn to any paragraph of a Stephanie Meyer book and go, fuck me, this is terrible. And I think you can like fast forward to any 5-minute chunk of Fantastic Four and be like horrified by how terrible it is.
Sure, I'm glad I haven't seen any of these movies.
What's your favorites, Brandon?
I remember my least favorite is The Punisher starring Dolph Lundgren. Came out like 1991.
I yeah. only vaguely remember.
They made two more after that, though.
Yeah,
they made one with Thomas Jane and one with
that was one of my
McNulty.
Favorite comics too when I was a kid. Was
yeah.
The
oh,
Punisher.
The Punisher was an awesome comic, and the movie was so disappointing. Best superhero movie, I'd have to go with. I love Batman Begins. I actually prefer it to The Dark Knight.
What?
Yeah.
I like it a lot too. Actually,
nah, dark, but not
the
dark
only thing.
Better.
The only thing that kills it for me is how shaky the fucking fight scenes are. Mm-hmm. Plot-wise, I think I do like it better than Dark Knight.
Also, Tim Burton's Batman was pretty fucking awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Batman 2, where they slide the penguin down in the funeral procession.
That's Returns.
That's Batman Returns.
Batman 2.
But
yeah. That one's pretty legit.
I like the first one. They're both good.
At least my nose isn't gushing blood.
Yeah.
They're both really good.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was good.
I mean, for me, I sadly have to agree with Brett. It's Dark Knight. I have a huge boner for the Dark Knight. And then... the first Iron Man I really liked.
It was good. It was really good.
It was pretty good.
I don't think I saw it in the theater, and so I was very pleasantly surprised when I actually watched it and said, "Huh, they actually did a pretty good job of not having it be like full first half really boring." The first half was actually cool because his origin story is actually fun, where he's trapped and he makes himself into the real big Iron Man thing, and then Iron Man 2 sucked.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, the Iron Man has the benefit of the suit up. Like, the whole fucking movie is a suit up scene where they're like putting clips in guns and putting fucking knives in sheaths. Like, that's exciting to a certain extent, and that's pretty much the whole thing. Like, yeah, I'm gonna build me a sick ass helmet.
I don't
I'm
know.
Gonna put the helmet on
Commando.
Real slow. Yeah,
Iron Man. That's like the best part of the movie where he's on the beach. He rows up in the little Zodiac boat, and he's got like an electric blue Speedo on, and then it's like 5 minutes just like.
So that's pretty much half of Iron Man. So he wins automatically.
Ooga.
Did anybody see Catwoman?
No.
Like the Halle Berry one?
Halle Berry?
I heard that one's horrible.
What about Elektra?
She died in a bathtub, you know?
Elektra has to be even... What? Elektra has to be worse than Daredevil, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's...
Same director,
I don't know
it?
If it's possible to be worse... It could be equally as bad.
Oh, the thing I forgot about Daredevil that made it so bad was Brad Pitt talking in his. I mean, what's his name?
Affleck.
Affleck. Ben Affleck talking in his.
I
like,
get those
fake,
two confused all
I don't
the
know,
time.
Well, they both start with B, so you know.
Oh. Okay.
And I've had three beers, so easy mistake to make.
Beer Pitt.
Yeah. No, he does that weird fake deep voice the entire movie where you're like, I can tell this is a fake voice and you're talking like
I
this,
just liked him pretending to be blind it. The whole movie because he's not good at it.
He can't even act blind.
He can't even act blind.
I like how no one has mentioned the Batman...
Batman and Robin?
Yeah, that one.
That one was a horror.
Oh,
they
yeah,
had the secret
right.
ice skates and the,
ooh,
the
yeah, that one's got to be. That
and
one's got to be
there's
worse.
There's half an hour of Schwarzenegger puns on the internet.
Although
that one's got to be the worst
if
one ever. That one's
out
amazingly
just the
horrible.
Schwarzenegger parts, it would be enjoyable.
It's still half an hour. He has half an hour of saying things that involve
and
ice.
The Bane character is terrible. Yeah, that's
a
really a
Bane
bad one.
Character in that one?
Bane, yeah.
I don't remember that.
He was a big bodybuilder guy with the big. He was all green.
They had like 100 villains in that, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was Poison Ivy, Bane.
Right, Uma Thurman was Poison Ivy.
And then Mr. Freeze.
Two-Face. So, or was that the one before?
That was the one before. That was Batman Forever.
So
those were both fucking horrendous.
Both terrible. Yeah. That one was Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Lee Jones.
His name was
Ednigma.
It was. God, it's terrible. I just, when you mentioned Catwoman, it reminded me of like the funniest argument, or probably the funniest argument I witnessed while I was playing football, where I was like, basically like the only white guy on the whole bus, because it was like after a mini camp, and it was like just rookies, and they were taking us back to the airport, and all these guys were arguing about Halle Berry, because they're all like from the South, yeah. So it was like, someone's like, hey man, Halle Berry look good for a 40-year-old, you know, and someone's like, Halle Berry ain't no 40, you know, and then like it just turned into this big argument, and then like, someone's like, hey yo man, ask Eric, like, he a Halle Berry super fan, and so they're like, hey Eric, how old Halle Berry? And he turns around and he's like, Halle Berry 40. He's like, Halle Berry ain't no 40, man. And like, it just like turned into this like big argument. And then they started trying to place it by who she had dated. So it was like, nah, man, Halle Berry was like 25 when David Justice busted her in the ear and burst her eardrum. And someone was like, nah, man, it was Wesley Snipes. And like, it wasn't no Wesley Snipes, it was David Justice. And then like someone's argument was actually like, man, Wesley Snipes is a black belt. He know how to bust some bitch in the ear and break her eardrum. And then someone else goes.
A lot of logic actually used.
Yeah, it was great. But then someone else goes, this guy's like 380 pounds. He played guard at like Auburn. And he had like the whole fat Albert voice and everything. And he finally goes, you ain't got to be no black belt to bust a bitch in the ear.
Which is true.
Which is true. That kind of ended the argument.
I would pay to watch a movie where Brendan plays like every character on a football team, like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, where they're just like arguing with each other.
Yeah,
I do like that. They also don't believe the Halle Berry expert either. They're she phony.
For some reason, like the ghetto arguments are fucking hilarious to me.
Oh, just it's the funniest thing ever.
I told you about. All right, so Eric Berry we had on a few weeks ago. I made him. He told the story to us in the car on the way to a show, and we basically made him start doing it in a stand-up show, in a stand-up act now. But he's talking about how he's running like in his like little jogging shorts and like jogging outfit, and these like these cholos pull up next to him in an SUV, and the dude in the back rolls down the window, and he's like, "Man, you hella fat and ugly." It just like cracks me up every time I think about it. And Eric's like, and I'm like, dude, I'm a comedian. I can fucking come up with a snappy retort. So I start to say something, and the guy's like, yo, shut up, cheeseburger.
Wow, I like that a lot.
I know, right? It's like,
shut your mouth, you white cheeseburger. Like,
totally unprovoked. Hella fat and ugly.
And it's just like, it's the emphasis on hella.
You know, it was a great source for a lot of arguments. I think I told you guys this story. I don't think I've told it on the Frotcast, but when I first got to college, they were doing, it was 99, so they were doing like before the year 2000, they're doing like the top 100 athletes of the century, like Sports Center. Was like counting it down. Do you guys remember that? It was like Sports Century.
I won, didn't I?
Yes, you won. So anyway, everyone's like arguing over who it's going to be. And dude's like, nah, man, it's going to be Muhammad Ali, man. And then, you know, someone else comes in. Nah, man, it's going to be Jim Thorpe, man. That dude plays 60 minutes, you know. And it's like, no, it's going to be, you know, and everyone's arguing about who it's going to be. Nah, man, it's Michael Jordan. How can you fuck with Michael Jordan? Six titles, you know. And then finally goes, some guy goes, y'all niggas is wrong. It's Moses. And someone goes, Moses? You mean Moses Malone? He's like, nah, nigga, Moses. How many niggas you know walk across the desert without no shoes on?
This is on TV?
No, this is in the cafeteria.
Oh. That was ESPN, Vince.
Okay.
This guy's on my football team.
All right.
And like at one point they were fighting over like who would win between a bear and a Wolverine if they fought.
Wait, for the title of our best athlete?
No, separate argument.
And look, guys, I really think it's going to be the Wolverine.
Although the bear is a good case. Who was going to win?
I don't remember how that one went. I might have to consult Dickie.
I think a Wolverine would have a tough time beating a bear.
It's low to the ground, though, right?
It's not that big.
No,
it's just a it's ball like a of
really,
teeth, man.
It's a really big badger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a bear is a really big bear. Yeah, anytime you get Vince.
QED, bitch.
Yeah. Anytime you get me to spit my beer back in the bottle, so you're saying
it's success.
Yeah, that's true.
You're an easy crowd tonight, though, to be fair.
Well, the more beers I drink, the easier I get.
We got a sponsor. We got a
I'm like your mom in that way.
Got a sponsor and a good interview. Vince is happy.
Yeah.
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 He saw Avengers. He didn't get his phone taken.
Damn right.
Were the regulars at the screening?
No, I was telling Wheezy? Brett was asking me, and I was like,
"Where's Wheezy?"
No, I was like, "I got the two people that I hate, which is
Beret guy,
Suede Beret,
okay,
and British black dude,
who's even in his Suede Beret,
yeah,
like
wait, he wore Suede Beret."
I want a second verse. Can I get?
I don't know the rest of the words.
Is that an actual
the kind
thing?
You wear? Well, I was singing the Avengers,
Red Corvette, but Suede Beret.
Suede Beret. Oh, what's the next
I
verse?
I think I liked it.
SF Weekly T-shirt. So, it's too tight for you. You're 50 years old. He wears a Suede Beret.
That was good.
You like that?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think him, I would much... He's definitely more punchable. But British black dude, for some reason, he's not that bad of a dude. He's just like...
Is he another critic?
He's the most boring dude, and he's really loud.
Is he another critic?
And he talks a lot.
He talks a lot, super loud.
And like he thinks that he's providing some insight, but he's just providing the most generic opinions.
Yeah. Do you ever have a friend where it's like, he's not that dumb. He's not that bad of a guy. He's just like the top of the bell curve, boring dude. Like he is every man's opinion, but he's like really fucking loud about it. And because he's so loud about the absolute most boring things that you just want to stab him in the neck.
God, it's me, isn't it?
I was just going to say, I see that guy in the mirror every morning.
No.
No?
Not even near the top of the bell curve.
Boom.
But separately, I do want to stab you in the neck.
Who doesn't? You know,
like I'm sure this guy would, like British black dude would probably be like, oh man, 2.5 men last night. Hilarious.
Did you guys see it?
Let me tell you all of the jokes.
That
right
Charlie
now.
Sheen. Such a ne'er-do-well.
I didn't think Ashton Kutcher could really fill his big shoes, but he has.
Yeah.
The comedy keeps on coming.
Yeah, he's like he's like an Entertainment Tonight host, basically. That kind of personality.
Billy Bush type.
Yes.
All right.
You wanna
Do we have any? I think we had a couple emails, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we did have a relationship question that we should answer.
I unstarred the construction teeth because I thought that was funny, but turns out
no one knows
not
what you're talking about.
Really appropriate. So there was an email that said something bucket teeth, and I laughed because bucket teeth's a funny sentence, and then it turns out you actually get the.
Oh, someone! We didn't.
Weird. It was like they sent us like the teeth that go on the forklift.
It's very
very
specific. It wasn't normal spam. It was like here are the teeth that fit on a backhoe.
Oh. Yeah. Someone sent us. I didn't get to suggest this to Leroy Myers, but someone suggested Scat Pilgrim, which I think is fantastic.
Someone did send us a Brett Ratner story, which I thought.
Oh right, yeah. Also, all right. So you read the Brett Ratner, and I got the relationship advice one.
All right. So this is from Nick. Nick says, "Hey Vince, dude, get famous. Suck my dick, Brendan." Oh, Brendan.
All right.
All right. Suck that guy's dick.
Yeah. Add him to the list.
Get in line, buddy.
Take a number.
Anyway, last weekend
I love that that's your catchphrase. That's what people will be shouting at you on the street when you're famous.
I know.
Brendan, suck my dick.
Isn't it wonderful? I just want to spread it. I actually had a girl at work go, "You love telling people to suck your dick." She told me that. You love telling people to
suck
your dick.
Wait, do people at your job listen to the podcast?
No, they don't even know I do it. She just observed me in my natural element.
That's just how she says it.
She's observing my natural element.
How many times have you told this poor girl to suck your dick?
I didn't even tell her to do it. It was just like random passersby.
Just down the hall. Hey, yeah. Suck my dick.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Good meeting and suck my dick.
Yeah. Ah, it's been a great conference call. I just hope you guys can just suck my dick.
All right. So Nick says, anyway, last weekend I took this girl out to a fancy New York hotel bar. And guess who walks in and sits down right next to us? Brett, in parentheses, Tower Heist Ratner. Equipped with a hot blonde my age, 24, and three other bigwig-looking motherfuckers. Anyway, as I was pushing my date out the door, I leaned over to Ratner's table, looked him in the eyes, and said, "Hey, man, rehearsal is for fags." He laughed uncomfortably while the rest of the table gave me dirty looks. Despite banging my hot date, knowing Brett Ratner is the fat, greasy, Napoleon complex pussy you paint him out to be, let me sleep well that night. Drunk on, Nick.
You know when you see a guy and you just get a... You get, like, such an accurate feel for what kind of dude he is.
Yes,
that's the way I feel every time I see Brett Ratner. Yeah. I'm like, I know that dude. I've hung out with that dude. I know exactly who... I don't have to meet him. I feel like I get just such a strong sense of that kind of dude that guy is. Yeah.
You feel like you know
him. I feel like the stories that come out back it up.
Yes. You know? Everything I've ever heard about him, like, is perfectly in line with what I've always assumed. We also had a relationship question. He didn't tell me if I could use his name. I'm going to say yes. This comes from Greg.
Ooh, Greg Tim.
Hello, gentlemen. So I decided to give you just what you wanted, an email without poop or a hairless taint involved.
Boring.
My friend Mike, he's 22, almost 23, and still a virgin. Like Vince. False. I was only a virgin until I was 21. No, I'm being honest here. As a straight man, I can say he's a handsome guy and has plenty going for him. He's just never really been in the position to do it with a lady. He's had one girlfriend in his life, but she's been dating some other guy for years. Anywho, she made out with my friend Mike recently, cheating on her boyfriend of 2 or 3 years, and told Mike, after I graduate in a month, I'll dump him and see where things go with us.
Wait, from high school or college?
What do you mean? College. Oh, yeah, from college. Yeah. Okay. She's a 23-year-old high school grad.
I didn't catch the age.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The girl cheated on Mike when they dated like 5 times and still cheats on all of her boyfriends, but Mike doesn't seem to care. We, his group of friends, told him to do whatever you want, but feel like it's a bit messed up moral-wise. What do you think? Is he just blinded by his lust to lose his V-card finally, so he is convincing himself this girl's the one for him? Let me know.
I feel like if this guy who's writing in is Mike's friend... He would know if Mike was truly bothered by this girl cheating on him. If he really doesn't care, I'd say, like, that's pretty sweet. Like, just be like, I don't really give a shit if this girl cheats on me.
True.
But you said it's not his current girlfriend.
No. She's dating some other dude.
There's a lot of moving parts
dating some other dude.
She does not seem to be...
He dated this chick in high school. Now she's dating another dude.
She's banged around the block.
She's been cheating on everybody, but she cheated on her current boyfriend with this dude. Now this dude is like...
I have a question. Why is she making him wait a month?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's definitely weird.
Because I'm assuming that she's off with she's off
Don't
at college with her,
her.
New... I'm not. I'm just saying I'm...
Her vagina's not... It's not like it's off in a different country. It's coming back.
Well, it could be. I'm assuming she's off at college with some current boyfriend, and then she's going to come back home.
They just made out.
Yeah. She's the kind of girl that always wants to have a boyfriend so people don't think she's a slut. Like, she thinks she's not a slut if she has a boyfriend.
Meanwhile, she's banging
the
hobo in the dumpster by the back.
You can be my boyfriend next week.
Yeah.
You got to just go
out. She sounds like trouble.
Well, yeah. Don't.
Oh, for sure.
You should marry her. Marry her right now. You get down on one knee and you pose.
So this guy is obviously, he's obviously blinded by his lust, but the question is his lust confined to this one girl, or is he using like a more of a lust shotgun blast? And because you got to spread your lust around.
Here's what doesn't add
it's
up.
Okay. If he just wants to boner, and you know, if she's willing and he's down to boner, hey, that's good. That's,
yeah, but don't,
right.
They're two consenting
adults.
You don't
adults. Need
to they
save yourself
each other.
For this. Woman.
As long as he's not saving yourself.
There's some
for
blanks
him.
Here. Is he saving himself? Does he really love her? My guess is no, if he doesn't care. But he, this may just be poorly written, and he does care, but he's willing to let her cheat on him because he like is so madly in love with her. So like, I'm not.
Well, they're not together
sure
now.
Yeah, but he still might be. You know.
So the fixated there's on a her. Danger in dating the person you first bang, but I feel like that danger sort of diminishes as you get older, not having banged anyone, right? Like, I feel you bang someone when you're 17, and then you're like, oh, fuck, this is the one for me. That's a really bad call, right? Because you don't have any sort of calibration for how lame this hometown person is.
Yeah.
Towards 22, I feel like you're just kind of open to fuck something
A lot of things.
So I mean, it depends. I would assume it depends on the person.
Here's what
speaking for me, I was just trying to bang anything that moved and failing.
Right, exactly.
Stop moving.
As we're all of us.
They're moving
as
too fast.
All of us. So the question
keep moving,
is
but
this,
not so fast.
Yeah. Is the question
slow down? No, I can't.
is the question, why is this guy waiting? You know, why is it like got to be her? Like,
yeah,
why?
Don't wait for
they,
her.
Do they live in a fucking, you know, space colony?
If it's Alaska, then no, it's, might, maybe
Brendan
that's the
nailed
only
it.
Space colony.
It's a space colony.
Male-only space colony.
She's coming back.
Whoa. If you're in a space colony, you need to get approval from the boss man. Because, I mean, you don't want to be stuck
Kevin
on
Spacey knows everyone who's fucking.
You want written
Kevin
approval.
Kevin Spacey wants to know where the people are fucking.
Kevin Spacey wants answers.
Big fucker. He's not Big Brother. He's Big Fucker.
You can fuck her. You can't fuck her. You can fuck her again.
He will put you in space prison without a trial.
Yes. You can fuck her.
Without a space
you
trial.
You definitely can fuck her.
You don't want to end up on Mining Colony
Verdict,
7.
Space guilty.
Do you swear to space the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the space truth?
So space God.
So space you God.
Can we please make
you have to put the hand on his face when you make the oath. Touch his face.
Oh, it's a bust of Kevin Spacey.
You have
it's
to,
made of marble.
You have to do the whole hand over the face.
Yeah, it's a bust. The president of space can't be
and then,
everywhere.
And then if you,
yeah, he can. And then he's in space.
If you tilt the bust head back, there's a phone that calls Spacey directly.
This is Space God.
Spacey, go.
Spacely. Space God.
Spacey, go.
Spacely.
I said Spacey, go. Is there anyone there? God damn it. Another one. Stop prank calling me.
Man, we got to get like Kimmel or something to get Spacey on and do like President of Space sketch.
Yeah, I bet he'd be totally down to do that.
He would.
You think
he wouldn't do that?
I just call him on my mobile.
Let me call him on his bust phone.
Call me on his space phone.
I'm just saying, if we were famous and we pitched Kevin Spacey on space...
Oh, that was a large if that you left out.
Well, I'm just... Yeah.
Brendan, we are sponsored now. We're pretty much a big deal.
I didn't say it was doable. I'm just saying that, you know, if we were in a position to make it doable...
Hold on, Vince is going to spend his $50 on a bunch of stamps for Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm going to go dust off my Kevin Spacey bust and see if that phone still works.
So should we give some final closure to this guy? Yeah. I say there's a lot of red flags. She seems like trouble. He should just go get laid somewhere else.
Yeah. I'd say as long as he's not looking to make a girlfriend or wife out of her, go for it. But if he is,
sure.
Run away.
You don't need to wait for her. If you can go ahead and have sex with her, it sounds like she has had sex with other people.
Also,
yes,
as this guy's friend, he's not going to be able to convince this guy to do anything. This dude is blinded by like trying to get laid. He's not going to listen to you.
I need to fuck something.
Do your best, but you know it's not going to.
First,
he's not gonna
first
to
girlfriend's
you.
Worse than born again, as far as trying to convince them that maybe you're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, buddy.
It's fruitless.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that? I think that wraps it up.
Does it? I think that does it.
All right. I guess that's good. So, Brendan, you want to take us on out of here?
Absolutely. Hey, you guys. Check out adamandeve.com.
Well, I figured Brendan would mention that.
He doesn't have the official script. We don't have a script. I just recommend things that I like.
Okay, I'll do it then. Hey guys, go to adamandeve.com, get your dirty butt plug, stick stuff in your mouth, slurp it down, fucking stick it in your dad's butthole, slosh it around for a while, see what he says. Maybe he agrees. I don't know. He maybe gets down like that. Not really sure what goes on. But then maybe you get like a flashlight, but it's like one of those weird things that you stick your dick in with the cartoony face on it. I don't know. Maybe that's your thing. You're weird, but you probably do IT at a company. You do okay for yourself, so you can afford a lot of them. Go on down and get them at adamandeve.com. They're never sponsoring us again, are they?
I'm never going to get more than $50.
Use the promo code FROT. That's all I ask. Care? What do they care?
Oh, okay. I guess they're cool like that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So thanks to...
I think they were more like, hey, drive traffic to our website, not like make us look like a really cool company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't forget to thank...
Well, that's like the best fucking advertisement. They can just take that and put it on the radio.
Oh, that's gonna be stock coffee from now on.
That's a drop. No, just put it at the end.
Put your dick in it.
I have a question. Would you go with that or Kit Kats, I want to cram in my butt, as like your main quintessential
your personal brand? Would it be that tirade or Kit Kats, I want to cram in my butt?
Man, Kit Kats, I want to cram in my butt. It's just so snappy. It's directed to the point. It's got a call to action.
It's true.
It's got a call to action.
It's true. People know what to do next.
Yeah.
They're going right in the pooper.
Well, I got some Kit Kats. I guess we know where this ends.
I want to cram them in my butt.
I want to cram them in my butt.
Look, just buy some bucket teeth, all right?
Fuck.
Cool. AdamandEve.com. Thank you for sponsoring us.
Leroy Myers.
Thank you for coming on.
M-Y-E-R-S on Twitter.
And yeah, hit us up, frotcast@gmail.com. Anything you want, whatever's on your mind, questions, advices.
Stop telling me to fuck myself.
Voicemail 415-275-0030.
That is correct. All right. Thanks for listening. And until next week, good night and good chins.